I came across a term in Harvard Business Review recently that was describing what the author claimed was a social phenomenon, yet the Bible has been clear about long before they got a hold of it in the business community. He was talking about how employees are now, rather than leaving their jobs, withdrawing their hearts. And he called it the quiet quit. If you feel underappreciated and undervalued in the workplace, don't leave your paycheck or your benefits. Don't walk in the office, stand up on the desk, burn something, throw it in the trash can, light the place on fire, and go to jail. Just show up, but not really. Just come at the last minute and leave at the first opportunity. Don't stay late. Don't offer to do anything that's going to inconvenience you in any way. It's called the quiet quit. That's what he said. He said that this is not only a trend that we now have a cute name for, but it is a human instinct that when I am giving to something where I do not feel I'm winning, that it may not happen all at once, and I may not announce it. I may not throw a party. This is my last day. Y'all can kiss my ring finger. This is going online, so I just say things in a certain way so it can be acceptable. It's called a quiet quit. A quiet quit. When Paul says in 1 Corinthians, and I'm going to illustrate this in just a moment, but first let me preach the principle, that God gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the expectation. When he says in verse 58, therefore stand firm, let nothing move you, always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord. That is the exhortation. And I wonder, did God give me this word today called the gift of victory to someone who is in the middle of a quiet quit in your life? You have not announced that you are an atheist, and you don't plan to. You didn't change your bio on Instagram to ihategod.com. But deep down in your heart, since you're not winning, it seems like the only logical response is to quietly quit trying. Because if I quit trying, then when I don't win, I'll understand why. If I quit trying, if I completely give in to the sin, I will no longer have to resist it. So I won't feel weak because I won't be fighting. If I lay down and die and quit trying to be a joyful, positive person and completely give in to the cynicism that tries to run the operating system of my life, I won't lose because I didn't show up. And if I take my ball and go home, if I take my belief and go home, the devil can't whip me, because if he can't find me, he can't beat me. So I'm going to hide behind excuses and pretend like I don't want it and settle for stuff that I used to struggle against. And I'm not going to announce it, because if I announce it, somebody might come get me and pull me out of it. So what I'll do, rather than announcing it, rather than quitting in a way that people can perceive, I will just show up in my body, but I will not be present in my mind. I will not bring my best. I will not bring my heart. I will not bring my ideas. I will not bring my playfulness. I will not bring who I really am, because if I don't bring who I really am, then you can't beat who I really am. I will hide behind the excuse that I don't want it anymore. What could be more miserable than to live as a Christian with the promise that God gives you the victory, but to live far beneath the reality of that promise? To know that you are forgiven, but to live without victory over sin. I saw a bumper sticker one time. It said, Christians aren't perfect, just forgiven. I'm like, dang, that's good. And that's kind of not true. Okay, we're not perfect. That part is true. but just forgiven? Like, that's the whole goal, right? Like, hey, man, we run around, we lie, we talk just like everybody else, we're hateful just like everybody else, we don't really have any different standard, we're just forgiven. That the world definitely wants to join our team. Hey, come to church with me. My life sucks just like yours. I make the same excuses you make. I have the same old broken patterns you have. Come to church with me. Get some of this. You know, to be forgiven, but not to live in victory is misery. Because I know I'm supposed to be able to get over this. I know I'm supposed to be able to forgive this. I know I'm supposed to be able to say no to this. I know I'm supposed to be able to pray this away. I know I'm supposed to be better than this. I know I'm bigger than this petty offense. But I'm forgiven. So you think the whole goal for life is for God to just get you to fall into forgiveness and never get back up? And live in victory? I see a lot of people in culture these days who are really good, even in Christianity. I'm not talking about the world, I'm talking about us, who are really good at falling into forgiveness. And hey, I have to do it too. I had to do it Friday. Friday, I saw myself doing something so dumb. I'm like, oh God, if I was going to do something this dumb, why didn't I do it on Monday so I'd have time before I preach to get this out of my system? That's too close to preaching to be messing up like that. And I had to ask him, God, help me, help me. I got people coming to hear me talk and I'm an idiot. God, help me. I have to do that too. But is that all that he died for? Just like to fall into the same pit over and over again, and I'm just forgiven. And I'm just frustrated. Because it's no fun if I'm not winning. It's no fun to come in church and sing songs about victory and go back to defeat over and over and over again. And that's why some people just watch online every 6 weeks now. Because I did a quiet quit. Because I didn't stop believing in God, but I did stop coming to church. I'm not talking about those who are in our EFAM who are giving and contributing and serving and praying. That's wonderful. I'm talking about the quiet quit. I'm talking about when you keep on watching sermons in the background if you don't have anything more important. The quiet quit. I'm talking about picking the scriptures that align with your lifestyle and never the ones that challenge you and only quoting the ones that make you feel good, the cute ones. I'm talking about the quiet quit. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory. He didn't die just so I could be forgiven. He didn't die just so I could fall. He died so I could rise with him. And I expect resurrection because his death promised it. He gave me an IOU. With him we rise. With him we rise. Say, with him I rise. Just like he did. So there's an example of an expectation that the perishable will be swallowed up in imperishable. And he uses the best example. If Jesus beat the grave, what do you have permission to stay down in? Because that's the ultimate, right? If I bench 300, you better get this 155. And I did do that one time. I'm not going to tell you how long ago it was, but I did do it one time. Jesus said, if I got up out of this, do not use forgiveness as permission for failure. Am I preaching a good Christmas sermon or what? Y'all are like, where's the manger? All that little baby Christianity that just wants to keep Jesus quiet and cute. The little Lord Jesus. What's the hymn that says, the little Lord Jesus, no crying he makes. Well, not only did he sweat drops of great blood when he went to the cross, but the Bible says, because if we want to take Jesus like that, it's just a symbol of our salvation. But he does not become the spiritual, dynamic, by which we overcome temptation in our life, then what are we to do with the fact that when Jesus was dying on the cross, it said he endured it, despising its shame, for the joy set before him? He wasn't just dying up there. I know how this kind of message can sound. It can sound super Baptist. It's like, stop sinning. I'm not saying stop sinning. I'm saying stop stopping. That's what I'm saying. Because if I were going to say stop sinning, then I would have had to reach a state of sinless perfection, and I would be Jesus, and I would not be here if I were Jesus. I'd be in heaven with the angels getting ready to have my birthday party on December 25th. But thanks be to God. Don't you love the way he frames that? He said the sting, how do you say it? I want to get it right. Verse 56. The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. Oh no, what am I going to do? If the power of sin is the law that God gave so that I would know how to live, but that very law that had the power to show me how to live, I was powerless to do it because of my sinful nature. Then what? But thanks be to God. And this phrase is very paradoxical. Who gives us the victory, which doesn't even seem to be a real thing, because a victory is not something that is typically given. It's something that is won. Think about it. When he said, give me the verse again, he gives us the victory. That in itself is a miracle. Because a victory, again, if somebody wants to give you socks this Christmas, they can give you socks. If somebody wants to give you this Christmas, I mean, what are you hoping for this Christmas? A microwave oven? Well, they can give that. If Oprah wants to give you a trip to Australia, she can give you a trip to Australia. I can't do that. I'm not on the Oprah level. But when he said he gives us the victory, it's almost confusing, because it almost sounds as if God is co-opting a participation trophy mentality of salvation. Like he's just going to give you stuff without you having to go for it. That's why I'm really excited about the exhortation that follows the expectation. He said he gives us the victory. Verse 58, therefore stand firm. Wow. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord. So here's what I want to ask you today, brothers and sisters. Like Paul asked the church at Corinth, I want to ask you on behalf of the Holy Spirit. Are you more committed to verse 57 than you are verse 58? Because verse 57 talks about what God gives, the victory. Verse 58 talks about what you give, yourself. And if you don't give yourself to it and expect God to give it to you, you are going to live your whole life frustrated, wondering why I'm still staying down in stuff that Christ gave me the power to rise from. That's the message. God said, I'm gonna give it to you, but then because you've got it, somebody shout, I've got it. No, I need you to shout that better than you shouted it. Say, I got it. I've got the victory. I've got the joy. I've got the promise. I've got the assurance. I've got the blood of Jesus. I've got the pardon of sin. I've got reconciliation. I've got the name of Jesus. I've got a great high priest who intercedes with me. I've got wisdom. I've got knowledge that God wants me to have. I've got the experience for the thing I'm going through. Now shout, I got it. Look at your neighbor like you got something to be proud of. Say, I got it. I got that thing. I got it on the inside. You didn't give it. You can't take it. I'm not asking you for it. I'm not begging for it. I'm not posting about it, but that doesn't mean I don't got it. I got direction from God. I got new mercies when I woke up. I got it in my cup of coffee. I got it when I lay my pillow. I got it. I got the assurance and the hope of heaven. I have a heavenly calling. I got a chain break.
breaking anointing that makes it possible for me to triumph over the works of the devil. Let's give out 3 high fives. Tell somebody, I got it. I got it. I got it. I got that thing. I got that thing. I got the anointing. I got the victory. I got the power. I got resurrection. It's in my bones. I got breath to praise him. I got strength to praise him. I got a right to praise him. I got permission to praise him. I got the edge to do the thing he gave me to do. I got the seed of the word of God. It's little bitty, but it's gonna grow. I got faith. I got mountain-moving faith. I got grace, gully-washing grace, sin-erasing grace. I got it! Yeah, I got it! I got it! I got it! It's a gift. I didn't earn it. Don't deserve it. But I got it. Couldn't work for it. Couldn't climb to it. But I got it. Tried to run from it. Tried to deny it. Tried to get away from it. But I got it. I got goodness. I got mercy. I got a... You like it? My dad gave it to me. I got it. He put it on the tree, not under the tree. When he died on the tree, on the old rugged cross, and his blood ran down, he gave me the victory. Thanks be to God. You got me if I fall? For this indescribable gift. He gave it to me. He gave it to me. He gave it to me. But sometimes I don't give myself to it. And Paul said it's an expectation, but there's an exhortation. If he gave it to you, you gotta give yourself to it. You can't quiet quit. You can't loud shout in church and quiet quit at home. Shout on that. But you better keep shouting when it gets hard this week. You better get shouting when you look at those bills this week. You better get shouting when it comes over you this week and you think, oh God, I'm about to go crazy. I can't quit. I got something eternal, imperishable, incorruptible, the seed of the word of God.
Hey, thank you for watching. Make sure you subscribe to this channel so you don't miss a single video or live stream. And share this video with a friend. And don't forget, you can join me live every Sunday. Thanks again for watching.